Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
Well, there are a number of ways you can look at this past series for the Cardinals against the Blue Jays. They got swept, and in getting swept, that's not good because it happened at home after a really good series over the weekend against the Dodgers. You go and do this against the Blue Jays, also a good team. So that's not good. I guess the other thing, if you want to look for a positive, is they didn't lose that much ground in the division. They're 5 games out. Behind the Chicago Cubs. We go to the guest line, Matt Pauly, host of Sports Open Line and pre and post game for the Cardinals and Redbird Rush Hour at 5 o'clock every day here on KMOX. Matt Pauly, what are your overall thoughts of the last 3 days?
Yeah, they didn't play. There was a couple games in there that were winnable. I think you look at that first game, that's the one you lament the most. You don't want to get swept by any stretch of the mind. So the fact that they didn't win that first game, that's the one that probably hurts the most of the three. The Blue Jays weren't a great matchup. And just because they don't strike out, they make so much contact, and Cardinals pitchers pitch to so much contact. And there was a lot of hard contact, and then there was a fair amount of soft contact that made its way through as well. And I don't say that to make an excuse. It's just there's a lot of contact. There's not a lot of strikeouts over the last few days, and that ended up hurting the Cardinals.
Yeah, well, this might answer the question that I was going to ask you, Matt. Which are you more concerned about? The fact that the Cardinals were swept at home, or the 21 runs in 3 games, 20 runs that they gave up in 3 games.
Yeah, I think that's probably the bigger thing. Like, sweeps happen. Like, Ryan Helsley all of a sudden blows a save. Like, I can accept losses. I can accept sweeps. Like, that's just part of a 162 game season. But then you start to dig in a little bit and you say, well, what actually led to that happening? And that's what you want to see get fixed. And to your point, the amount of runs that they've given up here recently, it's a ton of runs, and it's something that can't keep going. And it goes back beyond this series. I mean, you think about that Texas series that they lost 2 out of 3, the 2 games that they lost, they gave up a ton of runs. So pitching has not been, over the last couple weeks, what it was during that really good run, and they've got to find a way to get pitching going again. And it's cyclical in nature. It's also, there's a domino effect that goes along with this, just in the sense that if starters aren't giving you a lot, then your bullpen's getting overused. They're in this period right now where there's only 2 scheduled off days in the month of June. They got another one in there with a rainout, but then they had to follow that up with a doubleheader. So it's not the easiest. There's no chance for the team to like just take a breath. So they're trying to figure this out very much on the fly.
So you mentioned the pitching, and we talked about Ryan Helsley on Gas House Gang a couple of days ago, because in the month of June, he's not been particularly good. He was pretty good in the month of May. This month has been a different story. Is there a reason to be concerned about what has gone on with him lately? And if there is, does it affect trade value if that is where the Cardinals end up being in a few weeks?
Yeah, I think you can look at the numbers against his four-seam fastball specifically and start to be concerned about that. He's got a 400 batting average against the four-seamer, and that's a pitch that he can run up to 102 when he needs to. He's not locating it. The overall numbers on the slider are still really good, less than a 100 average against on the slider, but he's not locating it as much, so he's not able to play the two pitches off each other as much as you would like. So I think reason for concern, It is a lot based off just the damage against the four-seam fastball. That's the thing I'm looking at. Now, you look at what he did in the month of May. It's two different stories because he was 9 of 9 in save opportunities in the month of May. At the same time, of the 11 games that he appeared in, he gave up at least one hit in all but three of them. So he's had traffic against him really since the season got started. And he's got a whip at 1.5. He's got an average against sitting at 269. Like, there are some numbers here that are startling when it comes to Helsley that are very, very different than his career norms. So you would be, I think you'd be kind of just ignoring some numbers that are flashing at you if you're not concerned about Helsley. Again, at the same time, it's not like his velo has dropped off. He's still sitting 99 on the four seamer and can touch 102 if he needs to. So if all of a sudden he's sitting 99 or, you know, peaking out at 98 and sitting 95, then it's like, okay, what's going on with this guy? The fact that the velo is still there tells you that the issues that exist are somewhat fixable.
We were talking about Matthew Liberatore and his mechanics or something that got out of whack and that led to some fatigue, but he still wasn't especially great last night. So, I mean, how do you look at what he's doing, and is there concern about him now?
Yeah, so I think it looked different yesterday. The overall numbers, you're right. He gave up five runs in five innings. Three of the runs were earned, so two unearned runs. But at the end of the day, he gave up five runs in five innings. So, yes, that's his third straight start where the end-of-game numbers are not what you would like them to be. Again, I think with a discerning eye, you look and compare what he did yesterday to what he did in that Kansas City game where he had to come out with the fatigue-related issues and he wasn't all synced up. It's different. He was able to hold velo yesterday, and I think it's two different things that are going on with Liberatore. That game against Kansas City, it was not being synced up. It was the fatigue. It was all that stuff. What went on yesterday, I think you got a guy who's running into a little bit of a wall right now. He's never been asked to pitch as a starter every fifth day over 162-game season in the big leagues. He hasn't been a regular starter in a few years. I think it's a very normal thing. And he was throwing a ton of innings up until he's basically been the guy who's carried the largest load in terms of starting pitching in innings. I mean, he was going 6-7 innings, start after start after start, and I just think that right now he's hit a little bit of a wall. I wish they would be able, and we talked about this the last time I was on, I would love for them to be able to pump the brakes a bit on him, but with this month and the lack of off days, that's really tough for him, so it seems like he's going to have to go ahead and battle through this.
So this series coming up here against the Brewers, I think, is fairly big. Obviously, there's a lot of time left to go in the season, but the more days that go by, the closer you get to the trade deadline, which means all of these games are pretty important in helping them decide what they're going to do, you know, over the next several weeks. So in your mind, how big is this Brewers series, a team that is just a half game behind the Cardinals now?
Yeah, I think it's as big of a series can be on, you know, June 12th. It's a four-gamer, so you go in there and I think you're content if you're able to split it. That's the way a four-game series on the road, if you split it, you feel good about it. They split a four-gamer against Cincinnati a few weeks ago, and you felt good about that. But more important than just that, than making sure that you at least split the series, it's also watching to see if some of the things that they were doing well during their good run comes back. Milwaukee's a pretty good ballpark to be able to hit in. So does the offense come back a little bit over the next few days? Sonny Gray pitches today. There's no reason to be worried about Gray. No matter what he does tonight, I think we know who Sonny Gray is, and you feel really good about him taking the ball that every fifth day. But then the three starters after that, and Fetty, Palante, and Michaelis, there have certainly been questions about those guys here recently. So watching them and seeing whether or not they can find the best version of themselves or close to it, that's going to be a really important part of these four games.
So why did the Brewers do this to me? Because 2 weeks ago I said they were just completely done.
Everybody says that about the Brewers every year.
Yeah, but that's before the season. And then in the middle, they started playing like butt, and I'm like, okay, that's it. They're no good anymore. And then as soon as I said it, they started playing better. Why does this keep happening?
They're one of the smartest organizations out there. Now, that being said, they did just lose a series to the Braves, who had lost 7 in a row going into that series. So
everybody stinks.
Everybody stinks right now in Major League Baseball. Look, I respect the Brewers baseball operation as much as I respect any baseball operation in all of Major League Baseball. This feels different this year with them. I don't know if it's the lack of Willy Adames. And if you haven't seen, I almost feel sad for Adames because he got that big contract in San Francisco. I think he's under 200 hitting there, and he's not playing every day all of a sudden, where he was kind of the heart and soul of that Brewers team. They've got, they're going to start a young phenom prospect tonight. Jackson Churio is there. They've still got young guys that they're producing that they're bringing up. And maybe this changes as the year goes along because they are the Brewers, and they just always find a way to still be in it. But as I watch them, this seems a little bit different this year. I have less belief in the Brewers on June 12th of 2025 than I've had in the Brewers on June 12th of all previous seasons.
Wow.
So then maybe I wasn't wrong. Maybe they do stink, actually.
I don't know if they stink. I just they don't have it. And I think they'll get back rolling again probably in future years. But it just seems a little bit different this year with them.
What's the toughest month from a baseball team's perspective? Because it's a long season. It's a grueling season. Which is the worst month of the season?
I have a guess, I bet we're going to say the same thing.
Say it on the count of three. 3, 2, 1.
August.
Matt.
He's on a delay probably.
Right. Okay. Matt's ears, that was at the same time as Raj.
Yes, it was. but the caveat that I would put in there is, it depends if you're a good team or a not-so-good team. If you're a really, really good team, August can be awesome because you're coming off the trade deadline and maybe your front office went out and got some guys and you feel really, really excited about what's moving forward. If you're a not-so-good team, a team that especially just sold, at least in July you have the All-Star break, you come out of the trading deadline and you have no hope, August just stinks. It is the worst. When I was in the minor leagues, especially at AAA, August was terrible. Because there would be all these guys who are hoping that maybe they would be part of trades or maybe a trade would result in them getting a big league opportunity, and then that doesn't happen and they're still at AAA and they just absolutely hated life.
There is nothing, and I think this gets undervalued. I don't know how much value to put on it, but I don't think we give it enough that when a team is competitive in any given year and the team makes a trade for somebody to help them at the deadline, the boost it gives to the players in the dugout, who are still going to be there, it's pretty big. I mean, they get really excited because what the front office is saying is, we believe in this team. We believe in the team so much, we're going to give you a little bit more to help you even more down the stretch. It is huge for players in the dugout to make an acquisition.
And the exact opposite that could be true. Yeah. I mean, you think about what happened. Since they're playing Milwaukee, Milwaukee's the greatest example of this.
With Josh
when
Hader.
They dished away Josh Hader a couple years ago. And the guys are just looking around at each other in the clubhouse saying, we're a first-place team. Yeah. And they just traded away our closer, and then they completely fell apart.
That's just madness. I would be furious if I were a player. There was one year when the Sox traded for Jake Peavy, who had not too far removed from a Cy Young. And they found out about it in the middle of the game, and Mark Burley, one of the St. Louisan, and a couple of other guys who were pitchers, they went back into the clubhouse in the middle of the game, and they all did celebratory bourbon shots. Because they were so excited. They were like, holy crap, we're getting a Cy Young.
That's pretty cool.
Right? So like what it does for a team is huge. I don't know if the Cardinals are going to be in that position. I mean, we're still 6 weeks away from it, but I would love
last year was also really weird. Like, you think about last year, they made the trade for Fetty and they got Pham, and I remember being in the clubhouse after that, and everybody was so excited, and then they went on to lose 3 out of 4 against Chicago, and it just never came back after that. But that's the exception to the rule, but it did happen very weirdly for the Cardinals that way last year.
All right, before we let you go, Matt. 6 years ago today,
Stanley Cup.
The Stanley Cup. Sorry, were you quizzing me? Yes.
I'm not really sure. I was hoping for a group effort, but 6 years ago today, June 12th, the Blues win the Stanley Cup in 7 games in Boston.
I don't know if I've ever told this story. I'll tell it real quick. So that's when I was hosting Brewers post game. That is the only time in the history of me hosting post-game shows in Major League Baseball that I ever basically did not watch a single second of the game that I was about to host the show on.
Oh, the Brewers game?
Because I had the Blues on. I only had one TV, and I wasn't going to turn it off. So I faked my way through a Brewers post-game show.
Good for you.
And I was very happy about the Blues.
And that's why our boss brought this guy back to St. Louis. He said, by real golly, this guy gets it. Bring him back to KMOX.
Did the Blues game end before the Brewers did?
I think it did. I think I was euphoric. Because actually, I remember toast. Because I got a call on my Brewers postgame show from a guy in Wisconsin who happened to be a Blues fan, and he knew I was a Blues fan, and he called into the Brewers postgame show to talk about the Blues.
That's awesome. I love
that.
Yes. Very good. All right.
It was good.
Thank you, Matt.
Redbird Rush Hour at 5 o'clock and then 5:45 pregame show.
Sounds great.
Don't blow it.
All right.
Yo, Paulie, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
First pitch on KMOX 104.1 FM, 6:40. And don't forget, Gas House Gang at 12, Bernie Miklas and me. And we will have Tony La Russa joining the show at 12:30. That's coming up today. 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Chris Ronji, Amy Mark Scores with you. Every Tuesday, we unveil our question of the week. And this week, it was, how much would you be willing to pay to secure, to see your favorite artist in concert? How much would you be willing to pay to see your favorite artist in concert? Few options here, $50 to $99, $100 to $199, $200 to $299, or over $300. It's pretty evenly split between the four, except for $200 to $299, very unpopular.
No, that's a, it is a lot of money.
More people would pay over $300 than they would.
See, that's wild to me. I would have thought that, you know, the more you have to spend, the less you're likely to do it. But if the concert is such a big deal to you, mm-hmm. like when Michael Kelly went to see U2 mm-hmm. at the Sphere, which I would have loved to do that, there were people paying like thousands to go. And that's not unusual with concerts these days. Hard to get tickets. They can go for well over $1,000. I would just have a tough time paying for it. Unless you got throwaway money like Kelly does. That guy's swimming in it.
Hey.
He's like Scrooge McDuck with those gold coins.
Oh my gosh. He's not here to defend himself.
Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Don't speak ill of the...
Of the
not
absent?
Present. Yeah, of the absent. Don't speak ill of
speak
the absent.
I will speak ill of everybody who's not here.
I just... All I know is that my friends who bought tickets for their kids generally to see Taylor Swift, although... One couple, they bought it for themselves. They're in their late 40s, and they are huge Taylor Swift fans. But when you buy the tickets, and those tickets are face value $500, because let's say your credit card company gave you an elevated spot in the lottery that when the tickets were released, you could buy them. Buy them for face value $500. Now they're worth $8,000 apiece. Sell those tickets. There's no one on earth that I would pay, or let me rephrase that. No one on earth that I would give up the opportunity of $8,000 per ticket to go see. Because I would sit in my seat and go, I could be in my house listening to this on the album with a drink, relaxing, with $8,000 in my bank account. Maybe I'll go to Europe three times. Like, I couldn't live with myself, especially if you bought four. And I did have a friend who did that, just that. They bought two tickets, because their credit card gave them a better spot to buy face value. It was a perk. So he bought two tickets at $500 a piece, and he sold them for $4,000 a piece. And I think you lose $1,000 in the StubHub, whatever it is, or you know the resale, whatever it is, the fee.
Yeah.
So he made $7,000, and they're going to Paris this summer.
I would also.
insane.
There you go.
Right?
You replaced it with
such a good financial move. Sell those tickets.
Did I tell you this? I had a friend who had. They were trying to get tickets for Taylor Swift at Soldier Field. They were stupid expensive. So somehow they discovered that for face value, the tickets in Amsterdam mm-hmm. were still available, and there were a lot of them. And she and her friend both had airline points, and they flew to Amsterdam, got a hotel, stayed there for a couple of nights for cheaper than it would have been to pay for tickets to see Taylor Swift at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
They got a trip to Europe for a couple of nights.
Crazy.
And it was all less expensive than if they just would have bought regular tickets. Don't forget.
Unbelievable.
You only have a few days to vote for us in STL Mag's A-List mm-hmm. competition under the Arts and Entertainment section. We are a talk news show. You can vote for us. And you should, because we would feel really... We get to tell our moms about it.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah. Mom, guess what? You know,
we won.
Yeah.
And then we'll tell Steve, hey, mm-hmm. it's Thursday. That means we are going to chat with CBS Chief Washington correspondent and host of The Takeout. Major Garrett joins us next. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Every Thursday at 10:30, we talk to our guy, Chief Washington correspondent for CBS News, host of The Takeout on CBS News 24/7. It is Major Garrett who is with us on 104.1 FM KMOX. Good morning, Major.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, we are doing great, I think. It has been a complicated week, as all weeks have been complicated, I think, lately. And with all the protests that have gone on around the country, in particular in Los Angeles, and the administration's response to it, what is the feel in Washington right now with all of this going on?
So Republicans feel that Trump has the upper hand politically. Democrats fear very much that whether the politics work in their direction or not, there is something much deeper at stake, which is, what does a mayor say about controlling a city? What does a governor say about controlling a city within a state? And what is the ultimate aim of a memorandum from the president, in this case, President Trump, that says he can federalize the National Guard over the objections of a governor, over the objections of a mayor, and this is what the memo says, if there are protests or if there may be protests in the future. Meaning, under the president's current evaluation of what his powers are with National Guard forces in any given state, he can, if he believes a protest is likely to occur, federalize the National Guard. That is sweeping. There is no other way to describe it other than a sweeping assertion of power to take in federal control the National Guard of a given state. Whether you agree or disagree with the deployment in Los Angeles, you have to ask yourself, what are the potential risks of presidential power that's that expansive? I think they're self-evident. Maybe President Trump will exercise them cautiously. Maybe he won't. But if those powers are invested in any future occupant of the White House, and that occupant of the White House doesn't have any restraints, then the National Guard in your state can be taken over by the federal government and deployed as it sees fit if there's just a hint of a coming protest. That's pretty aggressive, and I think that's my way of putting that mildly. Those are the stakes as Democrats see them. They know in the moment... Politics probably, and it's close in our polling internally here at CBS and some of the other quick polling that's been done after Los Angeles, it's kind of divided, which is worth noting, I think, because up until now, all the polling for President Trump on immigration has been to the plus side. This is much more evenly drawn. In some cases, people are not so comfortable with the federalization of the National Guard, the deployment of Marines in a American city. So there are some political risks here. And as I just articulated, I think there are some larger structural legal risks as well.
Well, and President Trump has used the language of crisis, whether he calls something an emergency, a crisis, or the moral equivalent of war. Mm-hmm. And what's so frustrating, Major, which I know you know, like immigration, a huge issue. It's a big issue. A lot of people, and Trump overwhelmingly had a positive view for people who said, okay, we need to deal with the immigration issue. But if he does it in such a way that's threatening and careless with due process, which then leads to protests, which then opens doors for violent agitators and riots, that violent imagery, in my mind, plays into Trump's hands so that he can use this crisis language, because a lot of Americans, they see burning cop cars and rocks being thrown and burning cities and think, oh my gosh, whatever you need to do to get it under control.
And that is accelerated and amplified on social media. So, and there's plenty of reporting that's gone on all this week about bots that are operated by adversaries of the United States, accelerating and amplifying social media imagery. So if your entire source of information about Los Angeles is TikTok or Instagram, you might reasonably think that the whole city is on fire. It's not on fire. There's a curfew in 1 square mile of Los Angeles. 1 square mile. That's where the curfew is. Los Angeles City is 500 square miles. In the first 2 days of the disturbances in Los Angeles, fewer people were arrested then were arrested after the 2020 celebration, which also turned violent, when the Lakers won the NBA championship. Okay? During that, and I highlighted this 2 nights ago on my show, The Takeout, a city bus was burned. 2 people were sent to the hospital. 8 cops were injured. 30 buildings were ransacked. That happened after the Lakers won a world championship in the NBA in the COVID year of 2020. In the first 2 days, when the president was telling the world that Los Angeles is burning to the ground, there were fewer incidents of violence, less damage, and fewer people arrested. I'm not saying bad things didn't happen. Bad things did happen. They're on video. You can see them. But on social media, all context is obliterated. All you are looking through is a straw. And if all you're looking through is a straw, what do you see? Only that which the straw captures. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the great challenges of contextualizing and understanding what is or isn't true. And in that atmosphere, to your point, Amy, which is a very good one, someone who wants to say this is something that demands a federalized response, even if the governor disagrees or the mayor disagrees or the police chief disagrees or the county sheriff disagrees, all of which are true in California. The LA police chief said, we don't need them. The sheriff said, we don't need them, yet they're there anyway. The Marines have gone through 2 days of training because they don't even know what they're supposed to do. They're not trained for urban civil crowd control in an American city. They just aren't. And the application or the even hint of deploying Marines in an atmosphere like this only creates a greater sense of anxiety and fear. And anxiety and fear are dangerous human emotions. They're combustible. That's why local officials keep saying, can we bring the temperature down? Mm-hmm. The rhetoric from the president, now it's calmed down now because he knows nothing's going on. There's nothing going on. There's no crisis anymore. Why? Because the locals have it basically managed. So he's backing away from the crisis rhetoric because he knows there is an inherent risk of Americans looking at that and saying, wait a minute, let me evaluate this over time. Let me get beyond the emotions that trigger me on social media and try to see what's actually happening. And what's actually happening there is some agitators, that's a very good word you used, exploiting a situation, and other protesters saying, I am not comfortable with the aggressiveness of these immigration, customs, and enforcement raids. And it's interesting to note, this morning on social media, what did President Trump say? He said something that his border czar hasn't said. He said something that his DHS secretary hasn't said. He said something that Stephen Miller has never said, his top immigration advisor in the White House. What did he say? On Truth Social, he said, people who are working hard on farms and in hotels are being rounded up. Changes are coming. Oh, really? Changes are coming. Because good people who are immigrants in this country who happen to be undocumented are working in agriculture and hotels. What about everywhere else? What about Omaha, Nebraska yesterday? Where a meatpacking plant, people who do hard work for many hours, were rounded up. Are they going to get changes? Are you authorizing sudden changes on enforcement, meaning you're going to decide which enforcement practice is a priority and which isn't? You know what, who that sounds like? Sounds like President Obama. Sounds like President Biden.
Yeah. And what my I'm wondering, a lot of this has not happened in, like red states to the extent that has happened in, you know, California, and they're supposed to do it in Chicago.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
But all of these cities are relying on these workers, and there's reporting that the administration has been instructing federal judges to dismiss these immigration cases. People are showing up to their court cases as the law has instructed them to do because they think they're going through the process. The cases get dismissed as soon as they show up, and then ICE can arrest them. So
precisely,
that's trickery, right? It's not. How much of that is happening?
In a strict sense, if you are here illegally, you can be detained and deported. In a strict sense, we have not been aggressive like that for more than 20 years in our country because of the labor shortages and the labor needs in the construction, agriculture, hotels, home health care, nursing homes, et cetera, that many immigrants fill. Now, in a technical sense, a strict interpretation of the law, if you are here in an undocumented status and you become aware of immigration enforcement services, they can detain you and deport you in a strict, absolute strictest sense of the law. So that is within their power. But to your point, what did the president say during the campaign? we have been invaded, and everyone who has come in is a murderer, a criminal, a drug dealer, or worse. Every single one of them. Factually never true, and now practically being revealed as untrue. Because people who go to the court to work through their process are more or less by definition, not universally, but more often than not, not criminals.
Yeah.
Criminals typically do not show up at courthouses unless they're in cuffs.
Voluntarily, yes.
With their attorney, right, to be tried for something, okay? So it is a level of entrapment. Now, not exactly, because they're here illegally, so that can be done. But it hasn't historically been done. And also, historically, we haven't gone to schools. There have been some reporting that people have gone to schools. ICE has gone to schools. Hospitals, other places, have not been 100% off limits, but generally off limits, because we have had an understanding that there is, within our labor force, a pronounced need for these types of workers. And this is now running into the reality that they're A, not all criminals, B, valuable laborers, and now the president says, oh, changes are coming. Well, that means there are going to be changes on a case-by-case or need-by-need basis, which means you're prioritizing some over the other. Mm-hmm. That's sort of what we've been doing for a very long time.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, some of maybe the big employers that might have a lot of undocumented immigrants working for them, that's not necessarily where the president was sending ICE forces. We know that ICE was going to certain high-profile restaurants in the D.C. area.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Restaurants that have multiple locations asking for the papers of the workers, where you wouldn't keep those I-9 papers or whatever at that different location. You keep it at the headquarters, which ICE knows, but they had no interest in seeing the I-9s. They wanted to put on a show at a high-profile restaurant.
And create a sense of anxiety and fear, absolutely, which has happened. We are in the process of getting in touch with the mayor of Montebello, a suburb of Los Angeles, who had an interesting quote yesterday for my show tonight, The Takeout, who said, ICE hasn't been to my city, but psychologically they're already here. Mm-hmm. My community lives in fear. And people are not going to school. They're not going out. They're not going to places they ordinarily would. They're not living their lives as they ordinarily would because they live in fear. They haven't seen ICE yet, but it's in their dreams. And that is something that is... The reason I go into this direction is, again, I have said, under the strict interpretation of federal immigration law, these things are permissible. Are they necessary? Are they the things that leave us as a country most comfortable with our relationship to those who have come here, sometimes at great risk, to work in jobs that are difficult to do, require long hours for, generally speaking, lower wages, and live in our society and take on those burdens willingly because they're trying to get a better life? Is this strict interpretation of the law the kind of thing that leaves them most comfortable, our communities safer, our communities most comfortable with the application of the law? That's what our country is now wrestling with. Because when the president says no protester can wear a mask, but ICE agents can and routinely do everywhere, and file an indictment against a labor leader in California saying that the labor leader bullied them by yelling at them across a fence, that became a federal case, okay? There seems to be something disproportionate about the application of force, the enforcement, the strict enforcement of federal law, and communities actually functioning.
Major Garrett, you want to tell us about The Takeout today?
So we're going to talk a lot about the Middle East. There is a tremendous amount of reporting, much of which CBS has, about the conversations ongoing between Israel and the Trump administration about a possible military raid against Iran to deter its pursuit of a nuclear weapon. That would be a very transformative event in the Middle East if it happens. And there's all sorts of reporting that Israel is moving in that direction. Good idea, bad idea, consequences. We're going to get into that. We're going to continue to talk about immigration, not only in the sense of what's happened, what isn't happening, what hasn't happened, but this idea that fear itself is now becoming part of a built-in sense of being an undocumented immigrant in our country, not just in Los Angeles. And we're going to dip into Something else on the immigration front, the gold card goes on the market today, $5 million to get to the head of the line to become a citizen of the United States. What are the implications of that? Plus, RFK Jr. switched out the entire vaccine advisory panel. Who do you put in it? Vaccine skeptics. What does that mean? We're going to try to get into that as well.
Major Garrett, as always, we love it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much.
That is Chief Washington Correspondent for CBS News, host of The Takeout, which is on CBS News 24/7, Major Garrett, who joins us weekly just after 10:30 on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys passed away yesterday.
He did.
Yep.
They had a lot of bangers, man.
Revolutionaries in the music world. Really interesting to hear the Beatles talk about
how they were. John Hancock, never heard of them.
I know. Influenced and challenged by the Beach Boys. Ron, just a quick follow-up to our conversation at the beginning of the show about the protests slash riots slash unrest, everything that's kind of going on in that one square mile of L.A. And it's a big deal. I know the images are scary. And our conversation with Major Garrett, we're having a lot of commenters about immigrants, illegal immigrants, they're in the country illegally and we can deport them. And as Major Garrett said, we have the legal power to do so. But there's something when you are a country that is the freest country in the world, wealthiest country in the world, a democracy, a beacon of light, the Statue of Liberty, opening your arms to those who are persecuted, those who are searching for a better life, there's a certain moral standard that you hold. And like we say, like, you don't want everything that's immoral to be illegal. Like, it's immoral to cheat on your spouse. You don't necessarily want that illegal. You don't want people arrested for it. Because in a society, you need a nice balance of virtue and freedom. So not everything that's immoral should be illegal. On the same token, there are legal routes that the way you enforce the law needs to be honorable and principled. Just because it's legal doesn't mean you can go about it with cruelty, or as I would say, the way the immigration laws are being enforced right now, with fear and intimidation. We're not a country that's built on law and order through fear and intimidation. And that's why, does the immigration issue need to be addressed? Yes. We do not want cities burning down. We don't want destruction. But you don't want to intimidate people, as you mentioned, kind of deceive people through the immigration process.
Who think they're doing the right thing and following the law because they were told to show up in court for their hearings. They did that, and then they were arrested because their cases were dropped abruptly.
So
that's not, that is not a noble way to operate.
Noble, no, being noble, being honorable, character matters. And going back to George Washington, because we love our founding fathers, he would often reference the vine and fig tree. The vine and fig tree. What did he mean by that? So that's actually, he was referencing a Bible verse, Micah 4:4, and it says, "But they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid." And that's what he wanted the United States to be. I get it. Yes, we need legal immigration. Yes, we have an issue that we need to deal with if we've got a lot of undocumented people here. But we can do so morally, compassionately, and with principle. Just because it's legal doesn't mean we have to do it cruelly.
And I kind of don't want to hear any lectures from that side about the immigration system when there was a bipartisan border bill that was proposed and Trump killed it. Because he told everybody to kill it on the Republican side, and they did. That could have helped us move in the right direction. And I have a real problem with treating people like they're animals when they're just trying to get better lives for themselves. And are contributing, by the way, in a big way. And we can't deceive them. It's just the wrong thing to do.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.